Infinity.com. Now, I really apologize for all of those of you who are really concerned about being symmetrical. This whole message is going to be lost on you. I'm sorry. But at least that poll didn't actually hit anyone, and I just bragged before when we were setting it up, like, yeah, I'm all about, like, I'm a professional at doing this. I've done it a billion times. But apparently not well enough. So anyway, thanks to those guys. We have a couple of people that have signed up, and a couple of people who I sort of signed up without their real knowledge, but we can use a few more people over the next few weeks. So if you are interested in doing lip sync, there's that list is at the back. If your number is not on there, can you write your number? There's a few people that signed up that we have to get a hold of to figure out what song you're going to do during the week. So check that out at the back. We're really looking for some couples for future weeks who are willing to get up here and, you know, maybe do a little couples song, duet, something like that. And so that'll be fun. But thanks for going with that. Thanks one more time for Megan and Deej and Danny. All right. In a particular scene from a TV show, a brand new TV show that's out called Million Little Things, there are three guy friends. And they are on their way to this hockey fantasy camp. It's like this amazing thing that they get to do. And along the way, two of them, we can see the picture here, Rome and Gary, Rome is on the left and Gary's on the right, they find out that one of their friends has seriously betrayed them and their entire group of friends, their entire circle of friends. They're both furious with him. Now Gary, again on the right, is so angry that he wanted to skip the hockey camp altogether, not interested in going. And Rome was like, no, we're going to go. We're going to go, and we're going to have a really good time. And Gary turns to him, and he says something like, so you just want to do this thing and pretend that everything is okay? Like, nothing ever happened? How can you possibly do that? And Rome looks at him and says, yeah, that's exactly what we're going to do. Because that's how I live every single day. Now, the issue is that Rome, for quite some time, has been dealing with depression. Only recently in the show have they revealed that to, as he revealed that to his friends. So every day he was working tirelessly to convince everyone around him that he was doing just fine. But he was faking it. Now, when it comes to a TV show, when it comes to lip syncing, being fake, being able to fake it is a really good thing. You want people to believe that you are the one singing. You want people to believe that when you take the stage, it's like you up there, but it's really just a show. It's all fake. But when it comes to your faith or to life in general, faking it isn't a good thing. Now, Jesus had some hard words for those who were faking it spiritually, and most often that was directed at the religious leaders of his day. He often criticized them the most harshly because they were the ones who should have known better, and yet they were living this fake life. He told people, be careful to do what they say, but don't do what they do, because their words are right, but their actions, they're out of sync. He said everything that they do is done for show, like for other people to see, and that they're hypocrites who are like whitewashed tombs where they look really good on the outside. They look nice and neat, but inside there's nothing but death and decay. Even when their words and actions were right, their hearts were messed up. And Jesus wasn't thrilled when people's faith wasn't real or genuine. Now this morning, as this theme for this week is lip sync, and there's a kind of a title of the talk or the week is Are You Faking It? And we're going to be looking at one of the confrontations that Jesus has with the religious leaders. But I want to say this before we dive into it. The point of this message is not to come out here and accuse us all of having a hypocritical faith. That's not my intent. Now, if that's where you're at, these passages are probably going to hit you pretty hard, honestly, and take that to heart. But I honestly know most of you fairly well, and I don't really think that's the issue of where we're getting at this morning for hardly anyone. But what may be an issue is that we often convince others we're doing a little better than we really are. We don't want them to see us sad or hurt or beat up. We don't want to let others on to when we're feeling ruined by fear or when we're wrestling with doubt or when we're struggling with sin. So we fake it, right? Or at least we try. So if you can relate to that, if you've ever had moments like that, if there's things going on like that in your life this morning, then my hope is that by the end of this morning, you'd be courageous enough to take a step of faith and take a step in a different direction this morning. So that's where we're going to be headed. Now, the passage we're looking at is found in Matthew chapter 21, and you may remember the story that Jesus told. I'm going to read it for you here. You can see it in your Bibles, Matthew chapter 21, starting in verse 28. It says, Jesus told a story. What do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, "Son, go and work in the vineyard today." And he answered, "I will not." But afterward, he changed his mind and went. And he went to the other son and said the same. And he answered, "I go, sir," but did not go. "Which of the two did the will of his father?" Jesus asked. And they said, "The first." Now, how many of you are familiar with that story, right? Come on, you can stick your hands up. It's cool. First one said no, but did yes. The second one said yes, but did no. And we kind of tend to think there's a pretty simple message there, don't we? It's like, well, just you want to do the right thing even when you don't feel like it. That's how we kind of simplify that story. But there's something a whole lot more complex going on here. If we look at the verses before, we're not going to read them, but I'll just sum them up. In the verses before, we find out that the religious leaders, the chief priests and the elders, they were challenging Jesus' authority. Right? "By whose authority do you teach these things?" they asked. And he was like, "Oh, I'll answer that question, but I need you to answer me a question first." And so he gives them this question. John the Baptist, John who was baptizing people and calling people back to God, was his message, was his baptism of God, of heaven, or was it of man, something of earth? Which one was it? Now remember, he's talking to the religious leaders, the chief priests and the elders. This should be a pretty simple, straightforward question for them. They're the ones charged with discerning what's of God and what's not. And he asks them this question, and they should be able to answer it pretty simply, but they have a dilemma. Because if they say that John's baptism was of God, then Jesus will challenge them, "Why didn't you listen to him?" And if they say that his baptism was of man or of people, it was like of himself, then there's another issue because all the people around believed that John was, in fact, a prophet, which he was a prophet of God. And they would rise up against them. So they had this dilemma. And instead of answering the question, they simply say, "We don't know. We don't know." Total cop-out. You can imagine the people around kind of chuckling at that almost, like, these are the religious leaders and they can't recognize whether this is of God or not. So then Jesus gives them a follow-up question. And that's the story we just heard, the story we just read. Let's hear it again. "What do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, 'Son, go work in the vineyard today.' And he answered, 'I will not.' But afterward, he changed his mind and went. And he went to the other son and said the same. And he answered, 'I go, sir,' but did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" Now, this would seem like a much easier question for them to answer. Instead of a fastball or a curve that would be hard to hit, he kind of lobs one right over the plate. Nice and easy for them. Which one did the will of the father? And they got the right answer. They answered it and gave the right answer. They said the first one. The first son did what the father wanted. Now, one son said no and did yes. The other son said yes but did no. Let's first of all set the record straight. The right response would be to say yes and to do yes. and to have hearts that are willing and wanting to do what the Father says. So kind of yes across the board. But Jesus doesn't give that option in this story, and that's very intentional. See, the first thing that we want to realize about the story Jesus tells that we often overlook is this: neither son intended to do the Father's will. Neither son intended to do the Father's will. Now, that was obvious with the first son because he said, I'm not going to do it. It was pretty obvious. But how do we know that about the second son? Well, because even though he said he was going to go, there's no indication he ever changed his mind and decided not to. He just said he was going to go and then didn't do it. He never intended to go in the first place. So neither son did the father intended to do the Father's will, but only the first son had a change of heart. Only the first son had a change of heart. And it's important to note because this is one of the real issues that Jesus is trying to get at in this story. Only the first son repented. Both of them were headed in the wrong direction, but only the first son had a change of heart. That was a big difference between the two of them. The second thing that we want to realize in this story is that while neither son intended to do the Father's will, only the first son was transparent about it. Okay? Only the first son was transparent about it. The first son wasn't going to go, and he genuinely meant that, and he said so. No, I'm not going. I don't feel like it. No way. Forget it. Nope. Count me out. No thanks. He intended to disregard what the Father wanted, but at least he was honest about it. He was being truthful and transparent. The second son gave an answer that was short and sweet and polite and respectful of the Father's authority, and he said, I go, sir. Like, absolutely. Love to. Right away. I'm on it. You can count on me, Dad. Yes, sir. But again, it's not that he intended to go and changed his mind about it. He just simply never intended to go in the first place. He said the right thing, but he didn't actually mean it. It was a lie. He was faking it. So neither son intended to do the will of the Father, but only the first son had a change of heart, and only the first son was transparent. And those are things I think we're supposed to see in this story. Now let's relate that to the bigger context of what Jesus is talking about. The chief priests and the elders, they got the right answer. Obviously, it was the first son who did the Father's will. Ironically, they probably thought of themselves as being like the first son. Why? Because in the ancient world, the first son was the favored one. He had all the privileges. He had all the inheritance, or the majority of the inheritance went to him. He had the responsibility of carrying on the family legacy. Well, similarly, the chief priests and the elders, they were thought to be the first sons of the people of Israel. They were set apart from the commoners in order to serve God. They were obviously seen as favored by God among the people because of their privileged role and their privileged status. But Jesus wasn't focusing on their role and their status. He was concerned about their actions and their heart. Right? Their actions were like those of the second son. They said the right things, they put on a good show, but they didn't actually do the will of the Father. And they never intended to. Besides that, they never had a change of heart. So that's what Jesus is kind of trapping them in when he says what he says next. Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterwards change your minds and believe him. So their initial reaction would probably be, look, how in the world can you say the tax gatherers and the prostitutes are like the first son? They are sinners. They're making pretty bad choices, and it's obvious. Well, like the first son, they did refuse to obey the Father. But they had a change of mind. They had a change of heart. The chief priests and the elders, they never repented. They never had a change of heart. Not only that, but the tax gatherers and the prostitutes, the ones considered to be crooked, the tax gatherers and the prostitutes who were considered immoral, at least they were honest about it when they were disobeying the Father. Right? The religious leaders weren't truthful and transparent in any way. They were just faking it. And I think when I'm hearing this story, one of the things that really comes to mind for us is that, look, nothing good ever really comes from faking it. It doesn't. As a pastor, I try to tell people that I would rather hear the truth about where someone is at than for them to tell me what they think I want to hear. Because that doesn't do anyone any good. I'd rather have an honest conversation about someone's struggles to believe in Jesus. I'd rather have an honest conversation about how someone doesn't buy into the truth of the Bible or something like that than for them to never talk about it and never really get to what's holding them back from faith in Jesus. I'd rather that someone share their real struggles with people who genuinely care about them and what's going on in their life than to pretend everything is good. I mean, think about it. If we found ourselves listening to this story as Jesus told it, as he talked to these people, who would we think we would be more like? Would we be more like the tax collectors and prostitutes, the ones who were being truthful and transparent, even when it wasn't pretty? Or like the chief priests and the elders who tried to keep up the appearance of doing okay, but they were just faking it? Most likely, we wouldn't necessarily align completely with one or the other. I would think most likely that perhaps we're basically truthful and transparent about many of the areas in our lives, but some other ones, not so much. And here's what I want to encourage you to do this morning, all of us to do this morning, and kind of the key thing I want us to take away is, will we take a step toward truth and transparency, right? To take a step towards truth and transparency. You know, when we're dealing with things like sorrow and depression, nobody can support that if you never let them see beneath your fake smile. If you're struggling with alcoholism or drug use, drug addiction, pornography addiction, you can't get past that. You won't beat that if you aren't willing to let someone know about it. No one can help you sort out your financial struggles if you don't tell them about it. Being overwhelmed with tension because of conflict with a friend or with our kids, that's going to destroy us if we don't share it with someone. A struggling marriage can't be healed if the problems are never brought out in the open. See, oftentimes when we fake it in our spiritual lives or with life in general, eventually the truth is going to come out. Unfortunately, by the time things come out, it will have gotten 10 times worse, and perhaps the damage is far beyond what seems repairable. So if we want to avoid that in our lives, and that's my hope in my heart that we pull away from this message this morning, if we want to avoid that, we have to identify those areas in our life where things aren't quite as good as maybe we're letting on. Identify those areas where maybe we aren't being totally honest and transparent, where we're faking it. And then we have to take a step towards truth and transparency. You got to talk with someone about it. You got to be vulnerable. You got to be at least a little vulnerable. It starts with opening up in a conversation. Yeah, that can be scary, but listen, even here in a fairly small church community, we have opportunities to do that. We have avenues that provide opportunities to do that. We just have to step into them. I want you to know that we have leaders here who will pray for you when you're struggling with things. In fact, you're going to have an opportunity to do that with some people in just a minute or two if you want that this morning. We have men's groups. We have women's group where the opportunity is there to share what's going on. We have people who are willing to do counseling if that's what's needed. You just got to tell us. Right? If there are areas in your life where you're struggling a whole lot more than what you're letting on to, can I encourage you to stop faking it? Now, I'm not saying get up here and tell everybody everything that's going on, but to take a step toward truth and transparency, instead of hiding your hurt, instead of stuffing your sorrow, instead of continuing to struggle in that sin, can you take a step towards truth and transparency and be willing to open up to someone about it before it gets any worse? So this morning, as I mentioned, we're going to have an opportunity to do that. I've asked a handful of people if they would just be willing to come on up here and to be available for prayer. If there's an area in your life this morning that you're going, I definitely am not doing as well here as maybe I'm letting on to, and I need prayer for that, I'm going to invite you to come on up. If the prayer people want to come up, they'll just grab a seat right over here and just walk up and ask one of them to come pray for you. If you need a moment to just simply pray on your own, we want to kind of leave this be an open altar. I know it's a stage, it's a block of wood, but let this be like an altar where you can come and kneel and pray on your own if you need that. Bob's going to lead us in kind of a little quiet time in a song of worship, but I want to encourage you to come on up and just receive prayer for those things that you need to this morning. Let's take a step towards truth and transparency. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know all of the struggles. You know all of the battles. You know all of the fears and the doubts and the things that we're wrestling with internally. You know, God, that we don't like to be vulnerable. We don't like to be transparent. We're often afraid of what other people think. We're afraid of where it's going to take us if we let it out. We want to be able to fix it all on our own, but we can't. We can't. Father, this morning, for those who are struggling with some area in their life, would you give them the courage to take a step towards truth and transparency, to come up and to be prayed for, to reach out, be a little bit vulnerable this morning? And as a community, would you help us to embrace the struggle that each of us has with open arms, with hearts of love that long to see healing and restoration, long to move forward in what it means to be truthful and transparent. We want to lift this before you this morning in the name of Christ to pray.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.